though they were so old.
Right.
You know? Because somehow, you know, Europe is such an old continent as against America.
Yeah.
And we felt that very strongly there. Now, it is difficult for me from now on to tell you everything because there's so much. Mm-hmm. In Europe, only the most important things stand out in my memory.
Yeah.
And everything else has become quite hazy. But there was so much, and everything is very clear to me, and I remember all the names, and mm-hmm. I remember everything. So what not to mention, I think, will be kind of more difficult to me.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that in the last year, Eric had been extremely depressed. And now it was just the opposite. From the sea voyage on, from the
mm-hmm.
ship,
what?
He was the happiest person in the world. There was no doubt in his mind that he was going to conquer America. And he maybe he was aware, but, you know, that he was going to conquer there, Eric Zeisler, who was not known in America at all. And that he was going to conquer a continent, it never occurred to him. It was quite sure to him.
Mm-hmm.
He felt in him this great talent, and the world was waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was open that had been closed.
Mm-hmm.
And on the ship already, his happy mood, you know, showed himself in a tremendous appetite.
Oh.
And I have to tell you a funny episode. Because I, on the other hand, couldn't eat anything because yeah, I was so seasick, as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an ordeal for me. And it was a Dutch ship with the most marvelous meals. And in the morning already, you know, came this breakfast with ham and sausage and cheeses and who knows what. And Eric would take the plate that they put before me and put it over on his plate because he knew I couldn't eat anything.
Huh?
And about on the fourth day, there were two young men sitting with us, and we finally got to meet them and were introduced. And they said, "Mr. Zeisler, are you going to America?" "Yes." "Are you going to stay there?" "Yes." "Well, then we have to tell you something. We don't treat our women like this." Apparently, they had the idea that he was taking all the food that I got for himself and didn't leave me anything. But it showed he was so happy on the ship and looking forward, and that stayed in New York. Now, in New York, we met quite a few friends that had already come before us and were already settled, among them students of Eric, from students and so on. And they all gave him advice of whom to see and so on. And among the people that he was should contact was a Mr. Rappé. This Mr. Rappé was the conductor of the Radio City Symphony. That was the big movie theater that had a show going on for the music. And this man was, of course, a kind of little bit flashy Hollywood type, but he was really a good musician. And he had, as a commercial hour for the theater, every Sunday, a nationwide radio hour in which he took that symphony orchestra, which was a very good orchestra, and played the serious music with it. And he was, for instance, the first man in America who presented on this hour and in this year in which we arrived the complete Mahler cycle. It's something that the Los Angeles Symphony hasn't done.
That's amazing.
You know? And so we wrote a letter that we had arrived, and we mentioned the among others, Milo, that had recommended us. And I came home and Eric didn't know a word of English, you know.
Oh.
So he told me something garbled, which by intuition I understood was the address of Radio City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
He said something like 35th Street, or something like that. And so I had written the letter and knew it was 51st, so I knew that was there. And so we went over. It was, I think, the first week we were there.
This is still
1939
1939.
And Eric took the little symphony, which wasn't printed yet.
No, right.
And